Welcome to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. Today it's all music all the time, and for some good causes too. Roseanne Cash is raising funds for the Blue Ridge Music Center. Singer-songwriter Beth McKee is teaming up with the folks at Beta Verde to help stamp out hunger. The Dan River Girls are all set to keep Winston-Salem's downtown area just as hip as it wants to be during Second Sundays on 4th. They're here live in Studio A with a concert preview. And speaking of live in Studio A, how about master Piedmont blues man Big Ron Hunter and award-winning singer-songwriter Laurel Lynn Dossett together at last? That's right, they're here to do what they do best while raising awareness about the Piedmont's bountiful musical gifts to the world during Music Academy of the American South, next after this news. This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. Did you know that the Blue Ridge Parkway is one of the most biologically diverse places in the world, with more species of trees than are found in all of Europe? Or how about the fact that it draws 16 million visitors each year, more than Yellowstone, Yosemite, and the Grand Canyon combined? That's right, and nobody knows it better than Blue Ridge Parkway Foundation CEO Carolyn Ward and Blue Ridge Music Center manager, fiddler, performer, and instructor Aaron Marshall. They're here to remind us just how it came to be that all of the beauty of the Blue Ridge is available to us for free. It gets help from people who take ownership in our national parks. Next Friday, June 14th at 7 o'clock, you'll have an opportunity to do just that. And in the midst of musical royalty, the Roseanne Cash fundraiser concert for the Blue Ridge Music Center will also feature guitarist John Leventhal and master guitarist and luthier Wayne Henderson. Tickets are $20, and a lucky few will be able to attend a pre-concert benefit and reception beginning at 5 o'clock. Aaron and Carolyn shared this preview. Big loud whistle as blue. Carolyn, talk about your connection with this region growing up, and maybe a moment or two that you think back on it that really kind of connected you in a special way to this beautiful part of the country.
I grew up about 15 minutes from the Blue Ridge Parkway in a little town called Wytheville, Virginia. And my experience was growing up on a farm, had walks in the mountains with my dad, learned all the plants and animals, could not believe that there could be such a thing as a job where I would get paid to take groups of people out into the woods and teach them about medicinal and edible wild plants. And I found that position at a park called Hungry Mother State Park in Virginia and began my career path as a naturalist. And so for me, it's always been about connecting people to place, whether you're an interpreter or someone working for an organization like the Blue Ridge Parkway Foundation or putting on music in the mountains. It's bringing people to the place and having them feel a sense of belonging.
What does the foundation do for Blue Ridge Parkway?
You know, the Blue Ridge Parkway Foundation really is the quintessential partner of the Blue Ridge Parkway. And when you think about national parks, the Blue Ridge Parkway, along with all the rest, belong to all of us. They are our national parks, and it really is a fantastic partnership. But often there are things that the park needs, projects, programs that they can't often afford. And so the role of the foundation is to serve as the partner, bringing the community in, trying to help make some of those things possible that otherwise would not have been. So we serve primarily as the philanthropic partner, doing good for the parkway, helping the community become an integral part of the projects and programs that happen.
Give me an example of something recently where the parkway said, hey, we want to achieve this. We need your help.
You know, one of the most recent projects we did had vast impacts across the state of North Carolina was to build a communication center. The parkway had a difficult time having connectivity. There was a story of a ranger out in the woods. There was an incident. They had no radio contact with local law enforcement or with their other rangers. And so what we did after 3 years of the park trying to get the funding to build that facility, and they could not, we stepped in and were able to help build and construct that facility. And now it serves two state parks. It serves the Veterans Office in addition to the 469-mile long parkway.
So that's a huge project. So that's you and your staff reaching out to folks, an awareness campaign for starters. How does it begin?
What we often do is we start with the parkway itself. The park comes to us and says, here's the need that we have that we cannot otherwise pay for or do. Mm-hmm. This year they gave us a list, for example, of $1.3 million worth of very critical projects and programs that they couldn't afford to do. Everything from publishing the strip maps to building bathrooms and facilities along the parkway. Mm-hmm. So then we go in and we look at that list and we say, what do we think we can get the public excited by that will be willing to help us make this possible. So we go for grants, individual donations, and then many of the listeners out there probably have seen the Blue Ridge Parkway license plate, and that plate also generates a lot of revenue that we're able to do those projects with.
Well, if you're traveling in the North Country Fair, the wind's here heavy on the borderline.
There's free music throughout the entire summer season at the Music Center in the Breezeway, 7 days a week. And the way that those kinds of things are possible is by doing programs like we're doing with Roseanne. It's a fantastic partnership. Her and Wayne and John are really giving of their time. They're going to provide a very intimate experience for 100 very lucky individuals who get that ticket because there's only 100 of them. And they're going to get a very intimate experience in our very small theater with Roseanne, Wayne, and John. They're going to chat with us and talk to us a little bit about their history and how they came into the music world and how they have connections to the Blue Ridge. And after that, you'll have wine and hors d'oeuvres, a private tour of the Midday Mountain Museum in the Visitor Center, the Roots of American Music. And then you also get VIP seating to the big show that starts at 7. So for a $100 donation, you get this entire experience. It's not just going to a concert. It's a lifetime experience you're going to remember forever.
My heart is sad and I'm in
Aaron, I've never been to the center. I'm embarrassed to admit, the Blue Ridge Music Center at Milepost Marker 213. Set the scene for me. What all is there? We talked a little bit about the live music available to us, but what else can we enjoy there?
Okay, well, you would have driven on the beautiful Blue Ridge Parkway, and you would have seen gorgeous rolling hills, and you might have seen a wild turkey or two as you drove in. It's a very beautiful drive, of course, 469 miles of no commercial signs and those stone bridges and those old chestnut fence lines. And you would have driven into the Music Center. And as you came down into the Visitor Center, you probably would start hearing some sounds of some traditional music coming in through your car windows because you had those rolled down because the weather's pretty beautiful right now. And then you would have walked out and you would have seen our traditional musicians playing in the Breezeway. There's always a good group of people out there sitting in the rockers and just enjoying the free music. And the artists love to talk to the visitors, so they're always telling them about where they come from and where their music comes from. And if you walked into the Visitor Center, the park rangers would greet you and give you directions for any place you wanted to see in the local communities or driving along the parkway. And then you would see the Roots of American Music Museum, our new museum, which is completely state-of-the-art. It was designed by the same designers that did the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. It's really first rate. But the best thing about our museum, apart from it telling the story of all the waves of migration of people who came there and their music and cultural heritage, is it's fully interactive. So you're not just reading about, you know, the banjo coming from Africa and ending up in the Blue Ridge Mountains. You actually, you know, there's these wonderful instruments there, but you also can press buttons and hear the music. You can play rare videos. You know, there's even many activities for kids. They can actually play a dulcimer, and there's a mixing studio where they can put on headphones and mix an 8-piece string band. Really neat things you can do there. And then you could walk along the bridge to the beautiful amphitheater on a big natural sloping hillside and listen to an evening concert. And we also have Galax Smokehouse Barbecue there, so you can taste delicious local barbecue while you're at the show.
The big eight-wheeler rolling down the track means your true love and mama ain't a coming back. I'm moving on.
Blue Ridge Music Center manager, fiddler, performer, and instructor Aaron Marshall. And before her, we heard from Blue Ridge Parkway Foundation CEO Carolyn Ward. The Music Center is just about an hour's drive from the Triad along the beautiful parkway at Milepost Marker 213. Next Friday, June 14th at 7 o'clock, you can show your appreciation for America's most visited park by attending the Roseanne Cash fundraiser concert for the Blue Ridge Music Center.
I'll soon be gone.
You're listening to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. Bluesman Big Ron Hunter and singer-songwriter Laura Lynn Dossett will join me on the second half of the show. But coming up, we'll hear from the next generation of musical standouts who call the Piedmont home. Are you ready for a party? Camino Bakery owner Carrie Clifford sure is. She, along with a host of downtown Winston-Salem businesses, would like to encourage your family to play in the street during their Second Sundays on 4th event series, which runs through October 13th. Second Sundays kick off with 1 p.m. screenings of Charlie Chaplin matinees at Aperture, followed by a block party in the street at 3 o'clock with kids activities and free live music. Second Sunday's event, June 9th, features the Dan River Girls, 14-year-old mandolinist and cellist Fiona Burdett and her sisters 12-year-old Ellie on bass and 9-year-old Jessie on fiddle. We're sampling from their performance right now. They were joined by Camino's Carrie Clifford. What do you like to listen to, Jesse?
We have some classical CDs and also singing CDs like the Honeycutters.
What do you like about the Honeycutters?
I like the way they sound and I like their songs.
Yeah, because their songs all seem to tell stories and that's interesting.
And Ellie, I'm curious to know from your bass playing there, it's a beautiful sounding instrument, you're getting a huge sound of that thing. What's it feel like playing that bad boy? What do you like about it? What do you enjoy about playing the bass?
Well, it helps like the band sound better because when we were at like Galax and playing in the band, the other bands who didn't have a bass, they sounded a lot emptier. So I like keeping everything together. Kind of like the job of middle children.
That's right. We're looking at, from right to left, we've got Fiona the eldest and Ellie the middle child and then Jesse the youngest. Girls. I've heard the Dan River's really pretty. I've never been yet.
Yeah.
But how did you come up with the name?
We have some land by the Dan River, mm-hmm. and sometimes we play down there.
What's it like down there?
It's very peaceful, but there are also people kayaking down it so they can listen to it as we're playing. Yeah.
Oh, so you're playing outside?
Yes, we play outside.
Gonna share my troubles if you go my way. I have no mother, no father, no sister, no brother. I am an orphan girl. I have had friends.
It seems so bucolic. You're playing together, three sisters, but How was it in rehearsal? Tell me the truth. The good, bad, and ugly. Are any fighting going on during rehearsals that I need to know about?
Sometimes we do if we have three completely different ideas on how a song is supposed to be, but we can always work out a compromise eventually. No
father. Kiri, most people think, okay, a bakery, great. I get great baked goods, and that's wonderful, but it seems like you're always kind of giving back. What do you see your role in this community as?
You know, I'm really just having fun. I'm having a great time. Kind of just being in the downtown scene. And, you know, I grew up here. I love this town and it has changed so much. And I want to be part of this positive change. I want to be part of making the downtown really vibrant. And I love bringing people together. I love having a party, closing that street down and bringing performers and lots of people down to have fun is really, really fun for me as well. So if you think about the past, even just 10 years in Winston-Salem, I mean, the downtown used to be a wasteland. And look at it now. It's just loaded with pedestrian life and lots of fun stuff to do and good restaurants. And I think that we all feel that Winston-Salem is at a turning point where we're just becoming cooler by the minute, which is really fun to be part of. So we're happy to be at this moment in history.
Camino Bakery owner Kiri Clifford, and we heard from the Dan River Girls, Fiona, Ellie, and Jesse Burdett. You can hear them perform in downtown Winston-Salem during the Second Sundays on 4th event series. That's June 9th at 3 o'clock on 4th Street between Cherry and Marshall, which will be blocked off just for the event. Film, food, music, and mingling right in the heart of downtown. You'll find links to more information at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts. This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and there's more great music when we come back from this short break. We'll be off to the Bayou with Beth McKee next when Triad Arts Weekend continues. Welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. People coming together to celebrate good music and the good food movement in our area. It's the second annual North Carolina Swamp Sistas La La, presented by singer-songwriter Beth McKee and Beta Verde. Sounds like fun to me, and it's coming to Winston-Salem Sunday, June 23rd from 4 to 8 on the beautiful grounds of the Southeastern Center for Contemporary Art. With great live music by Beth McKee, The Small Ponds, and Kellen Watson, and great food by local growers and chefs, this is one la-la that you probably don't want to miss. We're sampling from Beth's CD, Next to Nowhere. She dropped by along with Beta Verde's Margaret Norfleet Neff. Margaret's also the co-founder, along with her daughter Salem, of the Old Salem Cobblestone Farmers Market, ranked number 11 as one of America's best farmers markets by U.S. News and World Report.
La-la is an old Creole term for a house party with a purpose. Back in the old days, in southwest Louisiana, the Creoles would have parties to raise money for medical bills or food or whatever, and they call them la-las, and the music that they played at those la-las is what eventually became Zydeco music.
Okay.
So there's a little music history in there.
How about that?
And I was very intrigued by that concept and by the word, and of course, Zydeco music is an element of my musical style. So when this group of women that I kind of befriended called the Swamp Sistas, which is now over 2,000 strong, started expressing a desire to get together and have get-togethers and events and things like that, I decided to call them la-las because I wanted them to have a purpose. Always the celebration is an easy purpose, you know, to get together and have great music and wonderful food. And sometimes we have art at the la-las. It's also a great opportunity to celebrate or recognize a need or an issue in a community. So the la-las that we have are a celebration of Southern female talent, a celebration within communities, and now I'm having them all around the South. But we're happy to this year to have a la-la at SECA.
All right. And what's the cause?
Hunger, first of all. I mean, there's a lot more hunger in the United States than I think a lot of people are aware of. And it's also about getting good food to people that are hungry, you know. So we're raising funds for a matching fund for EBT and SNAP at Winston-Salem's only sustainable market, the Cobblestone Market.
You're doing your part as well in raising awareness for the need for good nutrition that comes from the earth here.
Winston-Salem also has the dubious honor of being the 30th hungriest city in the U.S. To spin it on a positive note and look at food access, what is very exciting to us as being part of the Cobblestone Farmers Market, but also living in the Northwest Piedmont, is that we have incredibly rich growing soil and land in the 7 to 10 counties in our area. And that's primarily where our producers come from. They come to Winston 2 times a week, bringing some of the cleanest, most gorgeous produce, as well as different meats and cheeses and that sort of thing. So not only do we have the opportunity to increase access of good food to folks who don't have it, we also have the opportunity to showcase what is being grown and produced in our area for everyone in our area to purchase and enjoy.
Things that I've lived through made it hard for me to see. Good things come to you, pain has a remedy.
I love that combination of music, foods, and community. It seems like the perfect combination for this event.
For me, growing up in the South and living my whole life in the what I call the lower quadrant of the United States, or the lower eastern quadrant,
Mississippi,
the LEP, Texas, Louisiana, Florida, North Carolina. So whenever there are gatherings, there's food, there's music. And another thing that's important to me in a lot of the events that I used to go to in Louisiana especially is the multi-generational concept. As a 19-year-old that rode down from my hometown of Jackson, Mississippi to attend my first, and it may have been the first, Festival of Acadians in Lafayette, and I saw a grandmother dancing with a toddler. And not just like, I'm dancing with the little child dancing, but like, I'm dancing. This is how we dance and how we have fun and party. And something clicked in my mind at that point, and I really have ever since that time always yearned to have kind of gatherings where families of multiple generations can enjoy each other and enjoy the music together. It's not like old people music, young people music, and all these dividing things, and that the food is unifying and that the music is something everybody enjoys. I think the movement in American popular music, or more popular music in recent years, shows that more younger people are interested in roots music.
Getting a picture now of Lala and your Swamp Sisters, but the concept, could you expand it a little bit for our listeners?
Absolutely. The Swamp Sisters were founded, I guess you could say, by me, by accident. I had been in a band in Louisiana and recorded and toured nationally on a major label. It was an all-girl group called Evangeline, and we had a little success, but didn't ever make it all the way over the top, and eventually broke up. And I was kind of heartbroken about that and wound up moving to Florida. I married Juan Perez, my drummer also. He was from Cuba and had migrated to Florida during the revolution, his whole family, and wound up moving to Florida with Juan and kind of checked out of the music scene for a while. I was just a little bit tired and heartbroken. I had put my heart and soul into Evangeline. And for several years, Juan just pled with me to get back into it. You know, I think he knew that was what I should be doing. And so, okay, maybe I will. And my husband finally said, are we going to record? And I did say yes. And we recorded an album by one of my favorite songwriters, Bobby Charles, the late, great Louisiana songwriter that wrote Walking to New Orleans and See You Later, Alligator. I Don't Know Why I Love You, But I Do. Tennessee Waltz, a bunch of great songs. So I recorded and released that album and then said, okay, here we go. And so we got in the car and van and started playing gigs around the country, well, around the South. And as I did, I started noticing all these wonderful women at my gigs. And they were so supportive, so happy to be there, very creative women, mothers and daughters, and sisters and nieces that would come together. Of course, wherever you have women having a good time, there's always men having a good time.
You're here.
Because who wouldn't want to be around a bunch of happy women? So I was just enthralled with these women, and also with the sensibility, the things that we shared in common. And I'd wanted to think of a way to keep in touch with them, and they inspired me too. So then I began to write songs. When I wrote all the songs for my latest recording, Next to Nowhere, many of those songs were inspired by the Swamp Sisters.
Should have kept on walking. Should have never turned around. Should have kept on walking. Be miles away by now.
Great produce, grown organically. It's local. So many benefits health-wise. But it goes so far beyond just the food itself, Margaret. When I see you out there at Cobblestone interacting with the folks, I know you feel that. But I mean, what's it like from your perspective beyond all the work that has to go into pulling that together? What's the best part of what you do at that market?
The best part is the community. And the best part within the community, it's the stories, it's the enthusiasm, it's the surprise information. The market's just, it's a beautiful place, and people make it that.
The sun don't shine on the same dog's tail all the time.
What else is going to be going on at the La La?
Well, we have other artists. Caitlin Carey, formerly of Whiskey Town, has a new band called The Small Ponds, with Matt Douglas, and it's a beautiful band that's coming up from the Triangle. And Kellen Watson, who's a singer-songwriter in Asheville, is coming down with a couple of her band members and will perform. And as of this morning, we started talking about adding a whole nother second stage that we will have acoustic music. So
wow. Oh, yeah. Like a whole, it's like a festival.
And it is a mini festival.
Not to mention, it might be a few good things to eat along the way, I imagine.
There might be a few good things to eat all along the way. But it's wonderful to be in the outdoor-indoor space because it does feel like a festival and kind of a circular experience. So just to round it out, a few of our food folks are Dr. Brownstone, a.k.a. Tim Grandinetti from Spring House, is bringing two fabulous sliders. There's definitely pork involved. Camel City Grill is also coming with their food truck, and we have a number of other folks that will be there, as well as Foothills and some great wine and drinks and gelato. And
nice. And these are restaurants in town that use local whenever possible, and the quality is just unmatched.
They absolutely do use local whenever they can, and actually just not local, they use sustainable growers. So many of them that are at the Cobblestone Farmers Markets and other markets around.
The sun don't shine.
That's Beta Verde and Cobblestone Farmers Market co-founder Margaret Norfleet Neff. She was joined by singer-songwriter Beth McKee. You can hear Beth live in concert and eat the excellent locally grown sustainable fruits of Margaret's labors at the second annual North Carolina Swamp Sisters La La. Sunday, June 23rd from 4 to 8 on the beautiful grounds of the Southeastern Center for Contemporary Art. You'll find links to more information at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. We'll take another short break right now, and when we return, we'll be back live with two of the Piedmont's finest. Legendary Big Ron Hunter has the blues, in a good way, and he's ready to share them with you. And award-winning singer-songwriter Laura Lynn Dossett will join him live in Studio A next when Triad Arts Weekend continues. Welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. The Piedmont has had and continues to have a huge impact on American music and practically every musical style imaginable, so why not celebrate it? The University of North Carolina School of the Arts is gearing up to do just that with its second annual Music Academy of the American South from June 14th to the 16th on the UNCSA campus and nearby Old Salem Museums and Gardens in Winston-Salem. This year, there will once again be featuring outstanding folk, bluegrass, Moravian, gospel, country, blues, and old-time performances throughout the weekend. And there'll also be masterclasses, Q&As, and jam sessions with legendary artists. This year's focus will be the musical interactions that take place within the world of American roots music, and it'll be highlighted by a performance of Appalachian Concerto by the virtuoso bluegrass group The Kruger Brothers with string quartet. Following their Saturday morning masterclass and performance place, the Kruger Brothers will give the Saturday evening concert there at 7:30. Sunday kicks off with four-time Grammy Award-winning Appalachian musician and radio television host David Holt and a string band masterclass at 1:30. That'll be followed at 3 with a Blues Summit performance by one of the best, Winston-Salem's own blues master Big Ron Hunter and friends. Big Ron has performed in Europe, Lincoln Center in New York, and at festivals throughout the United States. Ron stopped by with award-winning singer-songwriter Laura Lynn Dossett. The Polecat Creek member has collaborated with a who's who of great musicians, from Riley Baugus and Rhiannon Giddens to Ken Frizzell and the North Carolina Symphony. She'll perform at the Academy on Sunday night at 7:30.
Sit down and smile and smile and smile. Smile a little while, while with me. I just picked up a little wisdom. I believe I'm gonna let the blues go free.
Yes.
Blues on the Fly with Big Ron Hunter live in Studio A. What's that feeling like, Ron? You got to have a certain comfort level to be able to tell a story, improvising it on the spot like that.
It's a good feeling. I really enjoy it, and I call it creativity because I can go anywhere and hear someone or hear something, and I can put it into song.
Talk about that give and take a little bit. You know, you're in front of a big audience, and you're communicating with them and making them all kinds of happy.
Well, the audience, it really doesn't matter. It can just be one person because I enjoy playing so much, and I'm just so grateful for the gift that I can just take this and do something with it. So if it's just one person, I can enjoy that. Or if it's 10,000, which I have played for 10,000, I get a kick out of that too. And I have a message, everyone to love one another. And that's what I do through music, is to share love. And that's what I have fun doing.
Well, it sure comes out in your music. And one of my favorites just was Going For Myself. It just seemed to encapsulate that positive vibe that you give off when you're playing.
I wrote that tune. It's a blues tune, but it's a Big Ron Hunter style. And so this song I wrote because my mom and dad, they said, well, son, we're not going to be with you all the time. And while we're gone, you'll be able to take care of yourself and do some things. So I wrote this song called Going For Myself.
Big Ron Hunter, live in Studio A.
I'm going to start out just a little bit picking because my dad, he always told me to pick, but I like freestyle. I like, he calls it framing, so I like framing.
All right.
So I'm going to start out picking just a little bit of it. And then I'm going to go back to the regular, my regular style. Don't you worry, don't be ashamed to cry. You know I love my woman, yes I love my woman. I love you, baby. I saw her wave, bye-bye. Bye-bye, honey, going to work now. I love my mother. My father's in heaven. I'm out here on my own, but I'm not alone. Trying to have a little fun, trying to have a little fun. Going for myself, for myself, myself. I'm going for myself, for myself, myself. If I did need money, I need a whole lot of money, y'all. To live a Christian life, that's my life.
Big Ron Hunter, live in Studio A, just in terms of the instrumental portion of that. It's your own style. I can't even put it into words. It's just Big Ron Hunter style blues?
Big Ron Hunter style blues, you know. It's well, what happened, I tried to be Jimi Hendrix, James Brown. I tried to be B.B. King. I tried to be Elvis Presley and everybody. So then I found out that I can do nobody better than I do me. I had to figure out a way that I could play without having a whole band and make my music sound full. And so I learned to play all the parts, you know, the rhythm part, the lead part, and the bass part. It helped me to be an original musician. So if you hear me on the radio, just like if you hear B.B. King, Albert King, or Freddie King, or any of those guys, the first verse, you know who it is. So I had to be that way with Big Ron Hunter.
There are so many different styles of blues, Chicago blues, Kansas City blues, Delta blues, Piedmont style blues. Are any of those the closest in terms of styles when you're thinking about blues in general?
Etta Baker, she was a picker. And like when I first started this song off, that's sort of like her style. The picking style is the Piedmont sound. And so I picked up a little bit of that. The reason why I went into blues is to show my appreciation to all of the blues players that have come before me that have really paved the way and made it easier for me, because a lot of the guys lived hard lives. But I came up in an area my life wasn't that hard. It was hard, but not that hard. And if it really got hard, it's my own fault. I'm really playing the blues because of appreciation.
You're carrying the tradition forward and doing it so gracefully and in a way that only you do. Well, can we hear another one? What's a tune of yours you did recently that you were really proud of and want to share with us?
Yes, I'd like to share this one. You know, I was raised up in Winston-Salem out on Germerton Road, and I lived in a little log cabin, and we had a whale and an outhouse and chickens and hogs and farm life, you know. I like to write tunes about my family, you know, what some things that they taught me and stuff. And my dad used to say, if you ever start anything, finish it. And I learned that real hard in the tobacco fields. I learned how to prime tobacco. And you get on a roll, and the roll seems like it's forever. Your back be hurting, your legs be hurting. And you look at it, it seems like the roll would never end. And so what my dad would do, he would go out and he'd finish his roll, and he'd come back and help me finish mine. And I got good at it, and I started finishing it, and then I go back and help him. So I learned to endure in the tobacco field. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't easy. It was hard. My dad used to tell me, he said, well, son, if you learn how to make the guitar talk when you become a grown man, you might be able to play with anybody. And he says, along the way, you can charm the ladies, you know, learn how to make it talk to the ladies, you know. So I said, okay, Dad, you know, I'll try that. And we used to sit on the porch and exchange licks, and he would teach me how to make it talk. And so this tune here is called My Father Said, Make That Guitar Talk.
Right, making the guitar talk live in Studio A, Big Ron Hunter.
Here we go. Make that guitar talk. Make that guitar talk, son. Make it ring, make it sing. Do your own doggone thing, son. By the time you turn around, listen up for that sound, son. That sound they call the blues. Sound they call the blues. Now listen to your mama, son. Every word that she says. She says, son, you gotta learn how to cook. Come on in here, let me show you. And wash your own dirty clothes. Let me show you how to separate them and everything. By your time, you turn around. Listen up for that sound, son. Sound they call the blues, son. Sound they call the blues. And my daddy used to say, now always keep your pickup truck. A truck can keep you in work, son. And if you don't have no place to sleep, you can always lay down in your seat. By the time you turn around, listen up for that sound, son. Listen up now. That sound they call the blues, son. Sound they call the blues. By the time you turn around, if the blues ever turn around you, son, yeah, I want you ready for the blues. Ooh. Man,
Make that guitar talk, son.
I think one of the great things about this whole event that you can be part of, along with Laura Lynn, this Music Academy of the American South, is getting people to understand the rich musical tradition and all kinds of different styles here in the Piedmont. Talk about this area. This is a real crossroads for the blues.
Yes, as a good friend of mine, he's passed and gone on now. That last lick I did came from him. His name was Guitar Gabriel. And Gabe was, he's a real good friend. We used to play around town, and he played his way out of jail one time. He got in trouble and had to go to court, and he always carried his guitar with him. So he went to court, and the judge told him to play that thing. And he played, and the judge said, dismissed.
When you were growing up, were there opportunities to play professionally? Was it mostly just social gatherings? How did it work?
Well, when I was growing up, I was raised as an only child, and I lived out in the woods. And my first guitar was a Roy Rogers guitar. And my first song that I ever learned to play on the guitar was My Sunshine. And so I used to walk around the yard playing, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when the skies are gray. You never know, dear, how much I love you.
Music Academy of the American South. I remember last year chatted with John Mauchery about the concept, and we talked a little bit about it with Big Ron, but you've been in this area for a long time, and it's a musically rich part of the country that a lot of people don't know about. Talk about some of the influences that have found their way into your music making from the Piedmont Triad area.
Sure, yeah, that's actually a pretty quick tale. I grew up playing the piano and singing in church, and was not, you know, other than that, wasn't really trained as a musician. And I, you know, stopped playing music when I was a young adult. I had a family, I worked, you know, and I just didn't really have music in my life so much. And when we moved to this part of the country, I knew a bunch of old-time musicians just by chance, and I was really missing having music in my life, and fell in with a bunch of, you know, great musicians, Riley Bogus and Kerry Sickenberger and some others over the years, and kind of accidentally started writing songs. And those sounds, the sounds of the Piedmont, the different tunings of fiddles and tunings of banjos and things like that, have definitely worked their way into my writing. You know, the way certain chords sound when they're tuned, like Big Ron was doing earlier. His guitar is in an open tuning, I'm guessing. Is that correct? Yeah.
For the non-musician, when you say an open tuning, what do you mean by that?
It means that the whole guitar is tuned. So if you don't fret it at all, if you don't use your left hand and you play the open strings, it makes a chord. So you can tune the guitar to D or to, you know, all different things. D is a common one, and then there are different ones even within that. But, and I'll do some of those later, sure.
My Appalachian strum stick at home is GDG. I guess you strum it. It sounds great. It's a great G chord.
Yeah, well, the dulcimer is that way. And a lot of fiddle players play out of standard violin tuning, but a lot in this area and all over these mountains that you'll hear all these different open or cross tunings that cause a very distinct sound. And those chord structures then also affect the melody and the mood and the emotion of the song as well. So you can't separate them. It's not just mechanical, you know. It pulls on the heartstrings too in a different way because of those tunings.
And I want to get into some of the songwriting aspects of this as well. I mean, beginning with the harmony and how that kind of how the lyricism evolves out of that. But first, you threw out the name Old Time earlier. And before we launch into a tune, what are some other influences? I mean, old time music, Appalachian folk, a huge part of the music in this area. What are some other sounds that you've been hearing that inspired you in terms of either performance or songwriting or just plain listening?
Wow. Well, you know, I was actually trained classically on the piano. I'm using the word training really liberally here, but I took piano lessons my whole, until I was, you know, a senior in high school. And so I think some of that soaked in. You know, I definitely was raised on church music.
Let's hear some. Can we launch into a tune?
This is an old-time tune that is unattributed, and I'm going to do it in a little bit different way. It's a fiddle tune, and it's called Red Rocking Chair.
Great, Red Rocking Chair. This is Laura Lynn Dossett live in Studio A.
Ain't got no use got no use for your red rocking chair. Got no sugar, honey, baby, now. Got no sugar, honey, baby, now. Who rocked the cradle? Who rocked the cradle and who'll sing the song? Who'll rock the cradle when I'm gone? Who'll rock the cradle when I'm gone? I'll rock the cradle. I'll rock the cradle and I'll sing the song. I'll rock the cradle when you're gone. I'll rock the cradle.
Man, it always comes back to the groove for me, be it a Big Ron blues tune, or in this case, a Laurel Lynn original. How do you know when you stumble into a groove that hits it for you? Where, is there something happens inside when you go, aha?
Yeah, although it would be hard for me to describe how I get there when I'm writing. I've had different ways of doing it. I do have times when I actually start with a beat and I don't use chords at all. And I start with what I want the drive to be and kind of just take whatever is around the house and make a beat and record it. And then kind of start singing things to it and then worry about the chords. So it depends on what the song is. Other times it's a melody line. Other times I'm on the guitar first and the melody comes later. So it's not the same.
This one, just it's one of those traveling tunes for me. I mean, I can just see traveling down the road and hearing that. It's got that pulse.
It does have a pulse, and and it's so melancholy. I just love that song so much, and I think part of it is because it feels, it's ancient. It's an ancient song.
And the simplicity of it, again, it just crystallizes an image. Really powerful stuff. What are you looking forward to most from as a member of this community, for this whole concept of a Music Academy of the American South? Because we take for granted a lot in this area in terms of the richness of the musical tradition.
We do. Well, I would say yes and no. I would say in some ways we take it for granted, and in other ways, Big Ron and I don't, right?
That's right.
You know? We know what's here, and that's why we stay. And we also know, we know each other and we rely on each other. And we do, there's a lot of really interesting collaboration between different genres, different styles of music, different ages, different races, different instrumentations that you wouldn't expect to have together. And it's a pretty creative place to live. It's been a good place for me to have my creative career.
Is there a song on your playlist today that might represent a result of a collaboration or something you've heard locally? What do you have for us?
This is a song called Rebel, and I wrote it last year with another artist. I was in collaboration with an artist who's very different than myself, both in style and in approach to music. His name is Daniel Bernard Romain, and he's a classically trained violinist and composer, Haitian-American. He does a lot of work with hip-hop artists, and through the North Carolina Arts Council and a consortium of universities, we were put together to write a bunch of music together and make a record, and then we toured around these colleges. So Daniel and I were writing songs together and just kind of fooling around with this. This is the feel. And we'd been traveling around North Carolina together, and he is a black man from New York, and we're all over rural North Carolina. He's noticing the rebel flags more than I am, you know? And we started talking about what it really is to be a rebel, or another way of kind of turning that word on its head, and what it conjures up. Maybe the rebel flag is what gets conjured up, but what we were thinking of was our state's long history of people who fight for civil rights, who are rebels in that way. And so the verses end up being about the Underground Railroad, the Greensboro Four, and the recent fight for marriage equality in North Carolina. And it's, none of it is super obvious. It doesn't sound like a political song, but it was very much from my heart after what happened in our state last year. And this tuning also sounds kind of swampy, and there's a real watery feel to it. When I was traveling around with the Amendment 1, and I was noticing the language was very much about the rising tide and the changing tide and the swell of change. And so the language around social change tends to be kind of watery language. water, rise the tide, swell of longing, swell of pride, and the pull of land and sea collide, rebel. River humming underground, children running, freedom bound, and their mothers pray they never will be found, rebel.
My thanks to the world's happiest blues man, Big Ron Hunter, and award-winning singer-songwriter Laura Lynn Dossett. Coming up next week, they'll be part of UNCSA's Music Academy of the American South, which runs from June 14th through the 16th on the UNCSA campus and nearby Old Salem Museums and Gardens in Winston-Salem. Blues Summit, interviews and performance is Sunday afternoon, June 16th at 3 with Big Ron, Boo Hanks, and Logie Meacham. Also on Sunday, there will be jam sessions and picnics with a 7:30 evening concert by David Holt, legendary gospel performers The Branchettes, and Laura Lynn Dossett in the St. Phillips Heritage Center in Old Salem Museums and Gardens. Saturday, it's the Kruger Brothers, Molly Andrews, Muscle Shoals, and more. And the Academy begins Friday night, June 14th at Home Moravian Church with a salute to our musical roots and Salem composers of the 19th century. You'll find links to the incredible three-day events calendar at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. Well, that's all for today's show. Our technical producer is Eddie Garcia. Our associate producer is Bethany Chafin. And special thanks this week goes to our intern, Kathleen Coker, and operations manager, Marion Wilson, for their production assistance. You'll find podcasts and archived episodes of this show on our website, WFDD.org. I'm David Ford. Thanks for listening to Triad Arts Weekend.